Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Pubcast Show number 165. And we've got Dan and Andy here today. We were going to have Jim. He hasn't turned up. He's been put on a call, apparently.
He's a very busy man, isn't he?
A very busy man, you know. Sending round emails of pictures of his friends naked and stuff.
Checking Facebook.
He CC'd me in on an email to an agency, because we deal with advertising agencies and stuff. I'm looking down the history. Yeah, there was a picture of his friend who looks a lot like Harry Styles.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, naked, apart from a newspaper, I think it was. Bit bizarre. Speaking of Harry Styles, Cesc Fabregas at the Brit Awards last night. Fucking hell, how can he not speak English after being in this country for so many years?
I
was watching the football as well. This makes me sound incredibly ridiculous. And we will go on to
absolutely terrible.
And we will go on to
Fabregas didn't speak English.
Well, no, he did, but not very well. He got up there and he was clearly quite nervous. He was with Nicole Scherzinger. I mean, cracking midfield pair in that team. And he was like, excuse me, I come in peace, I'm sorry for the result last night.
That would have been a lot funny if you'd have said cracking midfield pairing just about Nicole Scherzinger.
Well, you know, I'm not pervert like you,
Daniel. Really missed it. You're a fucking comedian.
Still, nice tits though. Anyway, but yeah, so Cesc Fabregas starts us quite nicely on the Champions League. And obviously there was the Arsenal game last night, which I did watch as well as the Brit Awards. I have more than one screen. But I guess start with City-Barcelona, given that we're talking about how
Why
Cesc.
Don't we?
Were City unlucky? Was it a penalty? Was it a red card?
If Pellegrini wants to start the game with Demichelis, then he's asking for trouble. If anyone watched the game, there were 22 players who started the game, obviously. There was one player who was well out of his depth, and that was Demichelis. Like, he actually did quite well snuffing the ball out a few times in the first half, but then every time he got the ball, he gave it away. He was head and shoulders the worst player on the pitch before he got sent off.
Yeah. Well, Man City would absolutely...
And Lescott played very well when he came on.
Man City would completely disagree with that, because did you see at the 51st minute... from the official Man City account, they tweeted Demichelis having a magnificent game, nothing's getting past him so far. This is when it was still 0-0, obviously. And then literally
he was
2 minutes later, he made that tackle, got sent off.
Hang on.
They made that tackle, got sent off, and then funnily enough, the next day, that subsequent tweet was deleted from the actual Twitter feed of the Man City account.
It's sod's law, isn't it? You tweet something like that, then the opposite.
Literally 2 minutes later, then that happened.
Was it a penalty?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The guy who did our digital training yesterday, who was a City fan, constantly referred to the fact that Lionel Messi fell down in the box all day long, which I don't think it was diving. Yes, he went down quite easily.
Not as bad as Robin last night, but anyway. By the way,
hero of the week, Arsene Wenger, for his gesture at Robin. His little diving hands.
Oh, yeah. Apparently he had a little word with him as well. But I have to say, you know, before Demichelis got sent off, I thought City were on course to get a result.
No, I don't think they really offer enough.
Well, I think they were a lot more direct than Barca, and actually they're the better of the chances. I agree with that. So I think they offered a lot, and actually they offered a lot when they were down to 10 men as well.
But Barca always looked dangerous, but they didn't really create that many clear-cut chances. But they didn't really play the attacking football that they normally play, right? And you say, like, you have to change it in the Champions League
against Barca.
Yeah, but like,
with that little possession, you've got to be as direct as you can when you've got the ball.
I just think that the way they've been tearing teams apart, playing the way they play. Yes, you're playing Barcelona to keep the ball a lot, but it's like, what were they thinking of nicking a 1-0 win? I just don't know.
I don't think they set up to nick a 1-0 win at all. I think they, honestly, I thought they were matching Barca really, really well. I agree they were creating the better of the chances.
But Toure was playing a much deeper role, obviously a much more disciplined role that he had to play, and I felt they had to do more to beat Barcelona in general, as opposed to what they did. Even what they were doing, I think they could have done.
I really did think they were on course to get a result before Demichelis got sent off. Yeah. I thought they were doing all right, and I think the same thing last night as well. I thought Arsenal started the game really well. They were on Munich's heels. Munich always looked dangerous, but Arsenal.
I missed the first 15 minutes because I was playing football myself.
They were on course to get a result as well.
Two pretty shonky penalties. I'm disappointed. I thought, because Alaba, or however you pronounce his surname,
Alaba
is normally a very good penalty taker. I mean, hitting the post, It's one of those things. But Mesut Ozil, what is going on with
him? He's taken two and missed two, isn't he, this season? I can't remember the game he missed.
I saw a very good comment on Football 365. Somebody said, all we need to do now is get over as many players who are going to star at the World Cup for their national team as possible, and we might have a chance of winning penalties. Because we brought Ertzl over here, he stopped being able to take penalties. Surely it can work for the players.
Do you know, there was an article last night, yesterday, before the game, basically saying that the reason Ertzl's not playing very well is because Theo Walcott's not on the team. They're like, well, he needs midfield runners running past him to get the best out of him.
Box midfielder Theo Walcott.
But do you know what I mean? That was one of the main reasons that, you know, he's gone quiet is because Walcott's not playing, so he hasn't got those runners going through to feed those balls. So it's like, yeah, all right.
There's been one player who was playing better than anyone for Arsenal who's not been there since Ozil's dipping form. That's Ramsey. So if you're going to blame it on anyone not making
weird that they were saying that. To be fair, Walcott's not there, but no, I mean
Wilshere's not been there that much.
Being a Spurs fan, it's quite amusing to see. I mean, Ozil was a wonderful player. He started so well, but the last 10 games, he's just gone off the ball.
I think that's a little bit unfair. Look, he's not playing like a £42 million player. I get that, The main problem for Ozil is that as the season's gone on for Arsenal, they've had more and more problems with injuries, and players like Ramsey, who were doing fantastically well, are suddenly not there. So the spotlight's on Ozil to produce more than he hasn't produced. So there's a little bit more criticism of him. At the end of the day,
he's still
at the heart of the good things that are happening. I think Cazorla's
sure
been
fantastic.
If you're going to hook anyone, I would have taken Ozil off and left Cazorla on last night. But
could Ozil be a victim almost of a? I think the one I would liken it most to is Juan Sebastian Verón, who came over to big pump and a lot of money. Actually, played very well for the first month or two when he was at United. Played well in between and clearly had a lot of class, but just wasn't suited to the English game. Maybe the lifestyle wasn't right for them. And
he can't tackle for starters. You can glide past Ozil so easily. And just, what was it? Was it a game the other day where he thought he got fouled? One of the big games? When he lost the ball in the middle of the park, and then was it Liverpool?
Lost the ball. It's no different to David Silva in that respect.
He looks like
Silva's definitely suited to.
David Silva's very good at riding challenges, and David Silva actually isn't bad when he gets
stuck
in.
I think this is a slightly overcritical of Ozil. I really do happen to think that, but look, he doesn't offer that much defensively, but he offers an awful lot going forward. And I just think,
but he hasn't recently at all.
No,
but that's the point. He hasn't.
He's still at the heart of most of the things that happened with Arsenal.
I disagree. I don't think he has been recently.
No,
we'll agree to disagree.
I
have to say, credit to Arsenal for how they went about the game last night. And they've had a decision. Look, they missed a penalty. Then they had someone sent off.
Was it a penalty again?
Definite penalty for me.
Yeah,
not
there was
a red.
Contact.
Not a red.
Look, it's a penalty. Robin's gone down. You or I would have stood up, but that's professional football these days. I think the red card's really harsh, I have to say. Yeah, I agree. Completely agree with you.
Yeah, I think penalty, but not a red. But
really harsh decision. But, you cannot fault the way that Arsenal went about the game.
Chesney didn't need to give the wanker sign on the way off, though, did he?
Well, he chose to. He is going to be in trouble for that.
And Pellegrini's probably going to be in trouble for his comments after the game. There's going to be a lot.
That was strange. That was the first time Pellegrini, Mr. sort of calm, cool and collected, just attacks the referee.
Went for him, didn't
he? That was bizarre.
It was a really obvious decision to make as well. For me, I thought it was a penalty and I thought it was a red card.
I mean, it was one of those ones that was so close to the line, and it was definitely red because he's his last man, he's taken him out. Whether or not he was an inch outside the box,
you deserve, if you go to ground like that, In the scenario that you do, then you're making life very difficult for your teammates.
Ultimately,
your
it's
club.
Stupidity from Di Michaelis as well, because if he doesn't go in for that challenge, maybe Messi goes and scores, but you've still got 11 players on the pitch.
Exactly.
Going back to my original point,
if you've only got 10 players on the pitch, you've given him a free shot at goal, and even if you've given him a free kick there, it's Barcelona. They're more than capable of working a very good chance from that position. And now he's also missing for the next leg. So, I mean, who will they throw in? Lescott or Mikovic?
So that might be a blessing in disguise for City, though.
But
I still can't believe that. I mean, obviously, Pellegrini loves him for some reason. The fact that, I mean, the fact he started him in midfield against Chelsea, like, I don't get it.
The one thing that he did do correctly in the FA Cup game against Chelsea was he corrected his mistake and made sure that he... So he brought Xavi Garcia in, didn't he? No, not Xavi. What's his name? Central midfielder, Spanish, playing for City. Who played there?
Xavi Garcia.
It is Xavi Garcia.
I was going to say, I can't think of another one.
Yeah.
And he came in and actually had probably the best game I've seen him have for City since he's been there.
Yeah.
But
well, you know,
good news for Arsenal though is that Oliver Giroud will be nicely rested for the next game.
Well, is he going to play? It's a bit of a statement to leave him out, isn't it? I mean,
oh, he's been too tired. He's been up shagging the whole night, isn't he?
But when do you bring him back in?
I can't believe that though. When did that come out? We haven't talked about that before, have we? That was this week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was before the Palace game, wasn't it? I can't believe he's come out and gone, put his hand strapped and gone, yeah, fair cop, it was me.
Well, he's been caught though, isn't he?
Yeah, there's a picture of him in his pants, I know, but...
Have you seen the picture of Nicholas Bentner?
No.
Really?
On the training ground, taking the piss out of him, so when he's short, you've got...
I thought it was Mertesacker.
No, was it Matt Saka?
I thought it was Matt Saka.
I'm sure, maybe I missed it.
Ginger, stroke, blonde.
Yeah, it was coming from behind, taking the piss. Ertzel and Podolski in stitches.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think Wenger's made him probably come out and do it because I think Wenger doesn't need the added criticism from fans saying, well, why have you not played Giroud? I think he's gone and said, you know what, you need to own
it. No, I don't think he did. I think as soon as the photo came out, he did it himself with his own Twitter account.
Really?
I think he did it straight away off his own back.
Speaking of people who conceivably could be up all night shagging beautiful women, I'm premature.
Sat right here.
I'm talking about Andy, but you know,
Go
on. But I was premature in Hero of the Week because we all know who the real Hero of the Week is this week, and that's going back to Tuesday's Champions League. It's going back to Zlatan. Because, I mean, two goals, and Dan, you were telling me about his statement, because obviously he scored a fantastic goal with his
left foot.
Supposedly.
No. Wonderful comment after the game. Quote from Zlatan on scoring a screamer with his weaker foot against Leverkusen. I do not have a weaker foot.
I love it.
There was a Champions League weekly. You know they do that half hour Champions League weekly show.
You're talking about ITV4 or something.
Yeah. And I flicked over and it was the first 10 minutes or something was of Zlatan and about him, and just I loved him even more just from that. Like, and he had this cheeky grin on his face the entire time, and he was throwing little comments in there and there, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm arrogant, but I deliver."
Does he? No, but when it actually really matters, he doesn't, does he?
No, I disagree completely.
What on earth are you talking about, Ann?
He has a reputation for that for years.
He's won a league title in every place he's played.
He's not the reason for winning the league title. He's not the standout reason for winning the league title.
Apart from PSG last year.
For many years in this country, Zlatan Ibrahimovic had a reputation as being a bottler and not very good because he very rarely played against English sides, and on the few occasions he did or that we witnessed him in a high-profile game, it didn't seem like fun. However, the last few years, whenever
he has played in a big game, since he left
Barcelona, I would argue, because Barcelona, it didn't go right because maybe the chip on his shoulder was too big. But he has consistently performed in massive games. It's like people you say Cristiano Ronaldo did perform in big games.
The 10th highest ever Champions League scorer, and that was before the two goals the other night. Yeah. So I don't know, he's going to be up there.
He may well have jumped up. He's the top goal scorer this season with 10 so far, and I still...
No doubt, I love watching him play, but I don't think... Granted, the PSG title last year, you can say that he was probably the most focal player in that team for winning it.
Thiago Silva.
Okay.
I'm just being a shit there, sorry.
But all of the other titles that he's won, I don't think you can say that about him.
Oh no, I think you can at Milan. I think you can in Inter.
No,
I think you almost certainly can of his days at Ajax.
I think we have to agree to disagree here.
I love watching him play, I absolutely love him, and he's getting better.
He just seems to be getting better with age. And we were saying that he's not the sort of striker that you'd have thought necessarily would have got better with age.
No.
Because but he has got, he's still got the pace, he's still got the power.
Strength though, the strength, the first touch, look, he's amazing. What I'd really like to see, and this is what I was sort of leading to, was, do you know what, PSG were, they should have gone through in the knockout phases of the Champions League last season.
I would disagree with that. They were a brand new team. They were a brand spanking
new
team.
I'm not saying on team sheets. I'm saying they were in a position to go through and they fluffed their chance. This year, they're a team which is a lot better. They've been, you know, they've brought in stronger players as well. Yeah, they're missing Cavani. But when they get drawn against a better team than Leverkusen, that's what I want to see Zlatan, and that's what I'm talking about. I want to see them kick on. I'd love to see PSG win the Champions League this season.
Well, my prediction at Christmas,
I really want to see Zlatan win it.
You know, I'm not.
As I was trying to say before you continued your steamroller, I predicted at Christmas that PSG would win the Champions League. I'm still sticking to that. I will say that, you know, 4-0, it's not quite 5-0 away at Bayer Leverkusen, but there you go.
Oh, the good old days, Michael.
The good old days. October.
We'll wait for Olympiacos next week.
1968.
Are you confident of going away to Greece?
I'm confident we'll get there. I'm really? Confident we'll go to Greece and play a game of football.
So someone's got leadership to actually take you to Greece.
Well, it depends, you know. It wouldn't surprise me if David Moyes forgot everyone's passports or left them on the metro link and then was rushing around.
Well, he could do a Capello and get one of the reserve team, call one of the reserve team players up because he's got the name wrong. Do you not see this?
No.
For the Russia squad, an unknown was in the squad and they couldn't work out why. Turns out he got the guy's name wrong and he's got some reserve team player called up for the national squad.
Fantastic.
He's done a Bobby Robson, isn't he, really?
That's brilliant.
A Carl Court Shell Ranioli. But,
have we talked about Fulham yet?
I was about to say, it could be worse, you could be Rennie Mullenstein. I was going to say earlier as well, talking about players being disciplined, Felix Magath, if you've not heard, has gone in out of the blue completely and taken over as manager of Fulham, while Rennie Mullenstein was still technically first team coach or manager, or whatever position we want to give it. Now Mullenstein and Kurbishley and Wilkins have all gone. Ray Wilkins, by the way, hope he's okay because he's got the same thing Darren Fletcher's got.
Kept it really quiet as well, didn't he?
All the best to him.
They were saying that they were trying to accuse him of boozing. You see this? They said, you know, it was against a game recently. I can't remember which game it was. He didn't return for the second half.
Yeah,
and they
they were stuck on the toilet.
Pretty much,
he's on the Thunderbox.
He said he needed to be near a toilet because he's got this bowel condition.
Yeah.
And basically, a lot of people accused him of boozing on the coach on the way there, and said he was too pissed to be able to come out for the second half.
That's a bit much, isn't it?
Ulcerative colitis.
Because of his previous with the drink driving. So they said, is he off the wagon again? All this sort of stuff. But bless him.
And to be fair, to get done for drink driving is not the same as to be an alcoholic or have a problem. It's a terrible, stupid thing to do. But people, unfortunately, just tar it with a brush. But, you know, it is a ridiculous situation for them. They are in danger of sinking without a trace. I mean, because obviously they've got the new manager. And I think for so many years, I mean, Mohamed Al-Fayed is many things. He is a bit of an idiot. But he ran in the Premier League.
No, it was fantastic for the club.
Kept him in the Premier
League. And the fans loved him. The fans absolutely loved him.
He's a joke character.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at the Michael Jackson statue. But.
Yeah.
He
was a ridiculous character, but he kept Fulham in the Premier League.
Yeah, he was stable. I mean, like, so stable as a Premiership club, but the stability financially was that, yeah, he'd have money in initially, and then, you know, they've operated because they were viewed at one stage as being a moneybags club sort of late 90s, and what he did was, you know, he strengthened the team, gave the club a bit of infrastructure and now it functions.
Well, the problem is they've got this new owner, in American owner, and they do sport so differently. It's interesting because I've been reading comments about the rumour that re-emerged this week that Vince McMahon was apparently buying Newcastle, which is completely false. It's just
the wrestler?
The guy who owns WWE. Yeah, it's complete regurgitation of a story that wears out in 2011.
I really hope it's true, though.
It would be amazing. But the problem, and all the comments were saying, is These owners come over like Vincent Tan, and we discussed this the other week, and don't understand the affiliation that English fans have with their club. It's similar
proper
to
heritage.
Similar yeah. to the other week, we've given Andre Doubleson a bit of stick for supporting two clubs. And actually, as we spoke about last week, came back with an email yeah. saying, look, Australian football is very different, and he has his reasons. But these owners come in and they just think, well, fuck it, I own the club, I can change it. And to a degree, they're right. They own the club, they can do what they want with it. Fans can like it. Cardiff are in the Premier League now.
Yeah.
But
you can see Fulham. You can see Fulham if they
free Fulham.
Yeah,
I can see yeah. free Fulham.
Oh, completely, because they are. And no disrespect, but they're not a Premier League club. They are a relatively small club. They are maybe there.
But I mean, when we look at the ground, look at the stadium and the location, everything like that. Like they are a Premier League sized club. In that sense.
But not in terms of a fan base, and in terms of a history.
What about they've got a fucking neutral ground? I still can't get that. Sorry, neutral stand.
I think they will really, really struggle to on gate receipts if they go down.
They struggle now.
I mean, look really at a club like Charlton, who were in the Premier League for 10 years, but as soon as they've gone down, they've sunk relatively without this trade. Portsmouth are a bit more recent in going down, but that's the kind of thing. These clubs, they have a boom period. You go back to the
Reading as well, but they're on the up again.
Go back to the 70s, 80s, early 90s, and you had teams like Notts County and Luton in the Premier League.
Notts County are one of the biggest, most established clubs in the country, though, aren't they?
Notts County aren't. Nottingham Forest are.
Notts County have got history, but they haven't got
history. But I wouldn't say they're one of the biggest, most. They're one of the first that doesn't make you one of the biggest or most established clubs.
They've got the heritage in the game in this country, like
Fulham will have heritage. They've been to the UEFA Cup final, but if you don't have a lot of these ingredients, it can be very easy. Bradford or someone like that drop down the leagues, bit of mismanagement. I could see it happening with Fulham.
Oh, 100%. If they go down, I think that'll be it.
I'll be going for their fans. I really will.
I'll be going because it's fucking easy going to see Fulham Spurs.
Yeah.
Getting a ticket for that is an absolute doddle.
Well, speaking of clubs with great heritage, and very, very sad news this week that the absolute, and this is in no way an understatement, legend that is Sir Tom Finney passed away, age 91. Obviously, our generation don't know a tremendous amount about Tom Finney. We won't have witnessed him, apart from maybe some sepia-tinted videos on YouTube. A few things I've heard. Bill Shankly described him as the best player we'd ever seen. He said he could play in any team in any generation wearing a raincoat. what I remember most is that about 10 years ago, there was a programme on Channel 4 which was naming England's best ever 11, plus a manager. It was on before either World Cup 2002, Euro 2004. Every position and the manager, which subsequently was Brian Clough, they went for a non. They just said anyone who could have managed it. It was like, oh great, Diego Maradona in midfield or whatnot. But every position that was up for debate, apart from the left wing, because they said nobody could touch Tom Finney.
Really?
I think that speaks volumes. So everywhere else.
And when was the last? Think about the last. I can't think of a left winger for England.
Maybe John Lee Barnes Sharp. Out there. Joe Cole, a young Ryan Wilson for England schoolboys before he decided.
Well, Andros Townsend, there's one. He's playing on the right, probably.
Yeah.
We've never had. How long have we had problems with left?
A world class left winger, we have not.
Apart from Sir Tom Finney, who was genuinely.
Was it the Brighton game on Monday night that was a big applause?
I think games across the country over the weekend.
Waddle was amazing on the left wing for us.
Chris Waddle
is probably the only one.
Yeah, but even
Waddle was amazing.
And we've got to go back 20 years.
Chris Waddle couldn't touch Sir Tom Finney. And Chris Waddle was a very good player for a number of years. Very, very nice at Preston. They all wore Finney on the back of the shirt.
They did.
The funeral
not for the actual game.
For the actual game, yeah.
They all wore.
How can you get away with that?
All of them.
Well, you can get dispensation. Look at the Munich anniversary when United played in retro kits a few years ago.
Yeah, but a retro kit is one thing, but I thought you have to have your own.
Well, if you've got the numbers, all the referee's got to do is ask the name when he's booking him.
And it's great because they went 1-0 down against Orient and they got an equaliser for a penalty in the second half.
Very emotional scenes. The funeral cortege when he has his funeral is going to start at Deepdale and go through Preston. I'm sure there'll be a spectacular turnout for that. But I mean, thoughts with his family and friends and everyone connected to Preston North End. But
I thought it was interesting that, you know, as you're watching Sky Sports News over the weekend and the rest of it, and you know, it was quite amazing how there was quite a lot of knowledge about, you know, how good a player Vinny was from foreign managers. who are in the game now. You know, it wasn't just in the English game that he was world renowned.
He's one of those players who I think is very much a player's player. He's appreciated by all accounts. I know, like I said, down great ways. Like Bobby Charlton said, he was like the best he played with, and it was only the likes of him, Best, Pelé, Maradona that he'd ever seen that were anywhere close to that class. But you know, I mean,
rest in peace. Moving on.
Rest in peace. FA Cup. I don't think there's ever been, if replays go the way, I don't think there's ever been a better FA Cup quarter final round, because every game is loaded. You've got City, Wigan.
Yeah, no. But wait, before you do that, there's, I really wish it had been, it had gone slightly the other way. How did Sheffield United get on?
Sheffield United got through Sheffield Wednesday or Charlton, yeah.
That's right, sorry, Sheffield Wednesday, so it's still the replay, okay.
It's still a replay.
Well, it's, the only one that obviously it definitely can't happen now is Liverpool Everton.
Yeah.
Because the potential quarterfinals could have been, 3 out of 4 could still be, but it could have been Liverpool Everton, Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday, Brighton Sunderland,
which obviously
with everything with Gus Poyet is massive. And Man City Wigan,
the replay final. Yeah. I mean, still relatively local derby.
It's a real shame that the Liverpool Everton didn't happen for me.
Well, another controversial penalty decision. I mean,
which one was that? I'll remind you.
Howard Webb standing right next to Luis Suarez.
Me, one of the worst decisions I've ever seen in my life.
Playing devil's advocate, as I did mainly to wind up my Liverpool supporting mate that I was watching the game with, Suarez fell in your typical kick your legs up kind of way.
I know.
But the first penalty, I think personally, sorry, I've just stopped you from what you're saying. Yeah, he fell over and really made a meal of it. But I think Howard Webb knew that he'd given a really soft penalty away for the first one.
That's not how it works. I agree.
No, it's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
No. And I think Howard Webb had one of the worst games in one of the most high-profile matches in such a long time. Exactly. And the sequence of events went... Howard Webb gave a very soft penalty. He gave a very soft penalty, which you see given, but you see not given. I think he completely bottled not giving the second one, because he knew he'd given the soft one in the first place.
And then didn't send Gerrard off,
because he knew he'd fucked up on the last one. He's meant to be our best referee, and he bottled it in the limelight.
If you're an Arsenal fan, then, what would you rather see? The first penalty not given, and then the second penalty.
If you're an Arsenal fan, you don't give a shit
The second penalty given, and Gerrard gets sent off, which obviously wouldn't happen given the sequence. But
what was the sequence of events? So what point it was
penalty given? What was the score though? Arsenal were 2-0 up.
Even in the first penalty.
Yeah, but they were 2-0 up before the first penalty.
Of course they were.
Yeah.
I mean, the first penalty was soft. There is no way that amount of contact makes you fall over.
It's a stupid challenge.
It was a silly challenge. But like, it was a nibble. It was a nibble, and the guy and Suarez just literally.
And I do think there will be an element of the fact that Luis Suarez has a bit of the Ashley Young syndrome.
But that second penalty was a stonewall pen. Absolutely classic.
You're going to see very few.
I shouted at the telly and went, "That is a fucking penalty." And then in the replay, I was gobsmacked.
I agree.
You know,
first initial thought you went, "Oh, that was a pen, wasn't it?" And then you see the replay and you go,
"Oh, Red made the right decision there."
That was bad.
It was really.
I think Arsenal played shite as well. I think
it was an average game.
I don't think they played shite.
It was a good cup tie in the sense that it was end to end, and it was. But I don't think either team particularly excelled.
Everton Swansea was pretty average.
Well, Everton Swansea was when I was starting to get pissed, and then my memory is getting hazier and hazier for the Arsenal Liverpool game, I have to say.
Everton, a lovely finish from new boy Traore for the first goal.
It was a slightly lucky finish, but yeah.
Lucky?
Well, it bumbled around in the box.
He's back-heeled it.
It wasn't particularly crisp back-heel, though. It wasn't
He knew exactly what he was trying to do. He was trying to flick it.
Yeah, he was aiming for goal, which is what a good striker does.
It looks like a good signing, doesn't it?
Well, I think his looks. He looks all right. Yeah, and what's his face? His back. He won't get a look.
Lukaku
gets that. He won't get a look. And he apparently will be back very soon. But
I have to say, on that Arsenal Liverpool game, like the spirit in which it was played was phenomenal, like proper the attacking cup football. Side. No, the commitment. It was just fantastic.
Which is a proper FA Cup side.
Real cup side. All the players were 100% committed. I don't think one player could be faulted. Even Ozil could be faulted for what they put into the game. I really enjoyed watching it as a neutral. I really enjoyed it.
I was gutted for Brighton to see them concede late on.
Yeah,
being a Brighton boy, but
don't really need that, do you?
You do wonder whether or not it'll be a case of going back to Holland.
I know. And Alua had such a good chance a minute before, on the stroke of half time. Did anyone watch it on the Monday night?
No.
It was literally a free header, 6 yards out. A perfect delivery from the right, and he's just completely skimmed the left hand side of the post, but should have buried it. That would have been 2-0 going into half time. That could have been a different story.
Well,
but
thinking about it, even if Paul do get through, we're talking about this great draw, slightly more tenuous, but it'd be Steve Bruce going back to play Sunderland or Houses. Yeah. So, there's enough there to make it tenuous. When we all love a tenuous link on this show, don't we?
Yeah,
speaking of watching football on the television.
Speaking of watching football on the television.
You said you watched it on the television.
Leave the links to me, alright?
No. But a bit of a funny but interesting one. In the build up to the United Olympiacos game, MUTV have shown the last two Olympiacos games live. Which, It's something you wouldn't associate with a club focus. I think it's quite a nice idea because one was against
Team that you're watching against your team and
scout them out or something.
One was against
Cleftico
it's a lamb dish. But one was against Panathinaikos, which obviously the big game.
That's
in
a good game as well.
It's not a bad idea for these sort of club-based TV channels. Certainly, if you have links to other clubs around the world, say United have Royal Antwerp, which isn't much. But City, I've said Melbourne Heart, which we'll go on to shortly, and that might give you a nice thing. But showing these other games, potentially building your viewership, I don't know.
Actually, I've just remembered something. Who was as shocked as I was on the FA Cup match on Sunday, going back to us in Liverpool again? Where the fuck did Andy Gray come from? He's back.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
And you know what? I went through it, wasn't until the second. I don't know if anyone else
Googled
remembers
it.
This. It wasn't until the second half.
Did you not
when
know
I was like? You associate his voice with top flight games. You do.
And sexism. And,
but it wasn't until I realised that I wasn't listening to Michael Owen.
Mate,
you know,
with all due respect,
me,
with all due respect,
I don't really like Andy Gray or his commentary.
I don't like him.
And he's back,
I actually I know
back.
I noticed within about 10 seconds. I'm not saying that I'm more observed. I'm just saying that I went,
is that
literally as soon as he started speaking I went, that's fucking Andy Gray. I got on Google, I'm putting in because it was BT Sport, wasn't it?
I'm putting in
BT Sport Andy Gray. There was nothing, there was
no
articles about
it. They didn't announce it, did they?
I disagree because I thought this was my knowledge, and I think it was the other week when I wasn't here for the show that it happened, but he did a match the other week. He was brought in to fill in for my club. I can't for the life of me remember, but there was a whole debate about how he'd done quite well, and BT had said he was brought in as a one-off, they might work with him again if it works well. So
you'd have him over Owen, wouldn't you?
I'd have you over Owen.
I'd have Stephen Hawkins over Owen. Disrespect, but
that's a lot of disrespect.
He doesn't know much about football. Yeah. And I don't think he's really got the voice to do it.
Oh, Michael, what are you doing?
I'm not being cruel. I'm taking
doing?
The mickey out
oh
of him.
Oh, my God, what
Stephen,
are you doing? We're going to get hate mail.
I don't care. I don't think what I'm saying is offensive. I think Stephen Hawking would be the first person to say he'd been unsuitable for BT Sports commentary.
Anyway.
What? Can you just pass me that shovel back, please?
No, I stand by my comment. But
I really enjoyed his commentary. I think it reminds me of better times. But no, he's good. He's fucking good. He is, especially when he compares to the shit that's on BT Sport normally.
Yeah.
He is fucking good.
He's
better than Michael
Owen. Anything in the lineup that BT Sport have.
I think he's better than Sky. I think he's better than some of the Sky Sports guys.
I like Alan Smith. I don't like Alan Smith.
I don't like him one bit.
I like Gary
bland.
Neville.
I think Gary Neville's a good co-commentator. How's he been on there for so long?
Because he drives them all to the games in his tactics truck. It's the only reason.
What? In nets?
Yeah, oh God. In the nets. Put it in the nets.
Do you know who's a having a trial at Blackpool. You're going to see because you've written
I saw this a few weeks ago. Freddie Adu.
Freddie Adu is back and having a trial at Blackpool.
I saw something about this. So, look, a child prodigy who went off the boil.
And has played all over the world.
The Mirror did a top 10 championship manager... players that were amazing,
incredible,
but then ended up being flops.
Cherno Samba's got to be number one.
It was on the back of that, and he was interviewed talking about that, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I've heard about. Apparently, I was really good on Champ Manager. I wish it was like that in real life, but it hasn't been." But it'd be interesting to see if he.
I think that was on the back of Kim Kallstrom, who was fantastic in 2001-2002 championship manager.
No pace though. Pace.
Only did on that season.
Completely forgot his
signing for Arsenal. Yeah.
That's
what it was on the back of. But Freddie Dew's one of those classic ones. Like Sonny Pike was the big one in the '90s. The young English lads who went to Ajax, and
there were a few Norwegians, weren't there?
There's loads. Kennedy Backis, they all grew from Sweden.
That's the one. Sorry,
some classic ones.
Do you know what else I'm really enjoying at the moment?
What?
Is Jose's ramping up his mind games and bullshit.
I'm not enjoying it. It's annoying me.
I think what he said about Arsene Wenger was pathetic.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I think it was utterly insulting. I think it was ridiculous.
I mean, but it's
and this
so
is coming
ridiculous.
From someone who's been taking the Mickey out of Stephen Hawking.
But it's it's so ridiculous though. Like. I mean, it's about Pellegrini as well. And I love about Pellegrini, just like, I just don't want to talk about.
I like Mourinho, but I think it showed a real lack of class.
Oh, 100%.
I'm just so glad.
100%, but it's bloody entertaining.
Is that?
It's bloody entertaining for us to talk about.
I'm glad City knocked him out of the cup, though, because that's one bit of silverware less that they can actually win. And I think, you know. I backed him for the Premiership. It's Galatasaray. Watching with interest next week.
A debate we had in the pub on Sunday, it was there were four Richard United fans and a Liverpool fan watching the game. And I want City to win the League Cup and the FA Cup final of Man City versus Arsenal or Everton, because that way. Seventh place will get into the Europa League. Now,
is this a United fan talking?
Now, hear me out. No. I never want City to do well, but I don't care about winning the League Cup. I want Everton to win the FA Cup. But the problem we have is if we're not in Europe next season, we get the bare minimum. We get 3 UEFA coefficient points. That means if we get back in the Champions League, we won't be top seed
and probably
won't be for the next 5 years unless we win it. Look very likely at the moment.
Bad? Yeah, yeah. It's really bad.
That's what happened to Liverpool, were perennially top seed. If they get back in the Champions League now, they'll probably just about be second seed because they've been in Europe enough. But they won't be anywhere near being top seed for another few years until they've got rid of the season where they were out of Europe. So we need to get into the Europa League, even if you play the kids. Don't give a fuck about winning the thing.
Yeah,
it'd be nice.
You've not gone down the rounds in the last couple of years, have you? You've not got further enough down the competition.
It's the only trophy we've never won, so in that sense, it'd be nice. But couldn't give a fuck about that. But you need the coefficient points. So interesting. I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on that. That's listening. That could say. I mean, I really don't want City to win anything. In a perfect world,
the League Cup. You can have the fucking League Cup.
Exactly.
Mickey Mouse.
Anyway,
Luis Suarez is in trouble again, though.
What for now?
Well, Joe's been giving him a lot of stick. His grandma.
What's she saying?
His grandma, Maria Josefa Reyes, is fuming after being kicked out of the luxury house that she shares with Luis Suarez's mum back in Uruguay and been dumped in a nursing home, apparently.
Oh,
and she's slated Luis Suarez and his brother. Oh. And they've come out and said it's like basically she's nuts and she's
talking bullshit. The last straw was when she bit Suarez's mum and her false teeth stuck on her arm.
Talking of biting, and it is a tenuous link, but there's been a lot of pitch invasions involving dogs this week. In the last week,
I can think of one.
Well, there's
which is relatively a lot.
They've actually been two and a rooster.
And a rooster.
Oh, I heard about.
Should we start with a rooster?
Have you seen the video?
I've met. There's some great videos online at the moment.
This video. It's good.
Hapoel Tel Aviv and.
Go on, spell that. No,
it's, well, no, no. It's the second one that I don't want to say.
Yehuda.
The pitch. Kickoff was delayed because a rooster ran on the pitch, watching the security men trying to get this rooster.
It was 18th minute. Is it? No,
oh, it started, I thought it was a kickoff.
Yeah. No. So it was on the 18th minute, it ran onto the pitch.
Oh.
And then God knows how long it was postponed for, because this video
it
is
really, really 10 minutes, wasn't it? It made a right cock of the security.
You try and
they were flapping all over the place.
Yeah. It was a clucking good joke, that.
Second animal invasion of a pitch happened at the weekend. Crewe versus Brentford. Husky ran on the pitch.
That was brilliant as well. People weren't even stopping it. It ran into the stands, and then it run into the stands, then back out of the stands onto the pitch.
The rooster Madness. One, though, as well. The rooster one. You literally, you're watching it, and you're singing the Benny Hill theme tune.
Yeah.
In your head. It's absolutely amazing.
Anyone who's listening, just keep the Benny Hill tune in your head.
Yeah. Or play it.
And just watch Rosario Central versus River Plate. Okay, so
did a man run onto the pitch chasing a load of women in nurses' outfits?
No, a dog interrupted play for several minutes. The dog was evading security guards, the referee, and everyone. It shat on the pitch.
Brilliant.
It's hilarious. Nice. It's very, very funny video.
Which, and, to be fair, is what United have been doing all season.
At one stage, the linesman got up to the dog and then went to sort of hesitantly grab it, and the dog clearly bit him, so the linesman retracted. One of the players in the end had to get the dog.
I'd rather try and catch a dog than a rooster, though.
Yeah.
Slippery little
Rocky, it took him ages, didn't it?
Yeah, in what sense? Chasing it or being thrown it? Because I think I'd stand more of a chance of... Mind you, you'd stand more of a chance to catch it. It depends on the dog.
Chihuahua.
Some great videos to watch there.
Speaking of
really
naughty
good.
Things on the pitch, did you see Celta Vigo Villarreal with the smoke bomb?
Yeah.
And
they didn't think they were going to restart the game.
Yeah, they had to evacuate the pitch with proper smoke grenade. The goalkeeper was in tears. And... Celta Vigo went on to win as well, and it was the Villarreal goalkeeper who hardly seeks the smoke.
One of the funniest tweets of the week, without a doubt. Oh, do you know what? I think that should be a thing. I think we should start best tweet of the week.
Best tweet
of
the week
from a footballer.
Why not?
I think I
from a footballer, or just anyone who's a pundit or a fan or
football based tweet of the week.
That'll encourage everyone to get on Twitter.
It's all about social media. It's all about sharing. Yeah. It's about sharing. Jens Lehmann. Did we tell you this?
Mad Jens, yes.
I mean, has he got the most ridiculous voice you've ever heard in your entire life as well? He's got the most effeminate voice, Jens Lehmann. Anyway, though, after he was in town, obviously, for the Arsenal Liverpool FA Cup game, he subsequently tweeted after the game, please, could anyone help me with the return of my man bag? So he had his man bag stolen from his car on Duke Street. He was offering a £2,000 reward for the return of his bag, as long as it had everything in it, and it was stolen from a red Fiat 500. More to the point,
my God!
Actually, I'm looking at it. Okay, hang on. First of all, you've had your man bag nicked. Then I know you're offering £2,000 grand, but it was out of a red Fiat 500. What were you doing in a Fiat 500?
Yeah, but then you know, Klinsmann was driving around in a VW Beetle, a clapped out VW Beetle when he was signed for Spurs. It is cool. Fiat 500 not cool.
No.
Christian Gross was on the tube.
Yeah.
Speaking of legends or retired players,
if anyone
suppose,
can find Jens Lehmann's man bag,
Gross,
let him know.
Christian Gross, a legend.
No, I'm talking about Jens Lehmann. Okay. To be fair, it's a bit of a legend. Doing slightly dodgy things. Have you heard about Romário, who is now a politician in Brazil?
God.
He is backing plans to regulate the growing hip-hop industry in Brazil and making all DJs, MCs, beatboxers, street dancers and graffiti artists be regulated and have to have a licence to perform their art. Bit of a left field one from Mario.
I'm pretty sure footballers should just stick to football.
It's been tremendously unpopular. He's agreed to meet the 2,000 people who have joined a Facebook group opposing it for a debate on the matter.
Politics and football. It's not a good mix.
It just never works.
Who else has gone on to politics? There is someone else.
There's quite a few Brazilian players, Dave.
No, I'm not.
Pitchcos, there are quite a few do in Brazil. I can't think of. I think.
Anyway, why are you thinking of that? Speaking of South America, in fact, Brazil. Well, what do you know? Former Arsenal player Andre Santos.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a joke figure when he turned up.
He was shy.
He had a left foot. That's about it.
He had a left foot. He got hit with a £5,000 fine by his club Flamengo.
It's not another driving ban, is it?
No, it's better than that. He went on, according to Sport Witness reports, according to Globo Sport, that he appeared on Brazilian television endorsing a bag and boots made by Nike. Bearing in mind, his club is sponsored by Adidas, and he has a contract commitment to Adidas, and he's gone on TV
As a player, he's got a contract to Adidas, is he?
Club. So the club and the players have got a...
All the players are right. Okay. Right. So obliged.
To promote Adidas, and he's gone and on his own back and not realised, and fucking promoted Nike bag and boots.
Silly boy.
He's a fucking idiot. He's an absolute idiot. Three other silly boys.
Yeah.
Josh Simpson, Carl McFadzean, and Matt Tubbs took pictures of themselves in their pants on the Quarry Town pitch after their game was cancelled last weekend, because it was so sandy. They basically made out they were doing a little spot of sunbathing. It's quite a funny picture, but a little bit silly. And also a silly boy of the week was Dante. Before the
another Brazilian.
I just did all over the shop. It was pretty bad. It was a good little video on this, actually. It was there was a training session for Bayern before the Arsenal game, and there's a bit of keep ball when he was obviously the monkey in the middle, trying to catch up to the ball, and he kept mucking up, and he couldn't get the ball off his teammates, so his teammates started laughing at him. But then when the journo started laughing at him as well, he lost his shit. And he started running, he had to get dragged away. Literally, there was a wall of Bayern players that went between him and the journo. He had to get dragged away because he looked like he was going to kick off and actually kill him.
To be fair, if you're looking at squads and trying to get the ball back in a keep ball situation, you don't really want to be up against your teammates if you play for Bayern.
No, but
yeah, but if you're the central defender for Bayern Munich, you would hope you'd be able to get the ball.
Yeah.
It's either that or break someone's leg, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's very funny. He just completely lost it.
Yeah.
Guys, I've got one thing. Does anyone know in the calendar year what February's important for?
Valentine's Day, my missus's birthday.
In the football calendar.
Has she put you up to this?
I'm
going to buy her a present, I promise.
I hope you do. You didn't buy her a present. Anyway.
Of course I buy her a present.
It's football versus homophobia month, February. Did anyone know that?
I
didn't know about
it. To be fair, I did, because I saw a story about it in Glasgow Now.
No, but I mean...
Fantastic newspaper.
There you go. But it is a good scheme. And the only reason I found out about this is because Brentford have backed the scheme as a club in the UK. It's a worldwide scheme. There's clubs from all over the world that back it. The game against Wolves, which is obviously a massive game this weekend in League One, first play and second, so we're endorsing football versus homophobia. So a really good scheme, something that people should get involved in. We don't like seeing...
We talked about Tom Hitzelsberger before, didn't we, and the fact that he said that, would you have come out as gay while you're playing football? He went, no chance. And he said it's not so much about the dressing room banter, because you get stick and you get piss taken and you get... don't matter if you're... what colour you are, what place you are, it doesn't matter about that. In a football change room, that is a football culture, as all of us that play football will know. You'll get the piss taken out of you for something. Didn't matter. Sexuality's got nothing to do with it. He said, for him, it was the fans. He said, for him, it was the opposition, and probably some of his own fans.
Is one of the main.
What I mean. Obviously, not fans in general, but it would have been, that was why he would have.
Yeah.
Going to an opposition ground can be daunting enough in certain situations, whereas let alone having people stuff like that, but which is a shame.
Hope will be something that is addressed in the same way that players in the 60s, 70s, 80s that were black got bananas thrown at them. You'd hope that once players do come out, eventually it becomes a non-issue.
There's no mention of Russia in this story, saying that Russia getting involved,
course
it remains
not.
To be seen whether they would
of course
back
not.
Something also tells me that they won't.
One last very quick thing, I think, before we wrap up, and it's got to come from Dan, and an interesting game in Australia at the weekend.
There's a few games. One stands out, but it wasn't actually in Australia, Michael.
Well,
wasn't.
It's all the fucking same.
Melbourne Heart continued their unbelievably resurgent by beating Wellington Phoenix 5-0 away, their greatest ever victory.
Yeah.
Williams with a hat trick.
The first ever hat trick scored by a Melbourne Heart player.
Is it really?
Competitive game.
Yeah. They are now only 7 points off the playoffs with 8 games to go.
Only 8 games to go. I can't believe it.
Dare to dream. They have been unbelievable. Unfortunately, they might have a little stumbling block this weekend, as they are playing out and out league leaders, Brisbane. At home though, at AMI
Brinkham
Park. On. But they've got no Kewell and no Warner.
Harry Kewell, who's being tipped for a recall by Australia for the World Cup.
Well, he's been he has been a big part of their resurgence. Very much so as well as Engelaar, who scored the fifth, I think, or fourth first goal for the club. But you know, it's been an unbelievable turnaround, and I mean, if they were to get a result, even if they were to get a point, I'd say at home to Brisbane
kick on
this week, it would be a fantastic to be unbeaten in five. I think it'll be
fantastic.
There's hope.
There's more than hope, I think, and they've actually 7 points off the playoffs with 8 games to go. They beat those four or five.
We didn't see that coming, to be fair, did we?
All they've got to do is beat the teams in front of them. I know it sounds ridiculous, but there's not that many teams in the league. Everyone they've got to play is above them. They take points off everyone that's above them over the next 8 games.
You're in the playoffs.
They've got a fucking good chance.
Yeah, fair
enough. Go on the heart.
Fingers crossed. Well, I think that's about it for us for this week. You know the usual score. Follow us on Twitter at Football Podcast, facebook.com/TheFootballPodcast, and the new website will be live next week.
No.
So,
tweet us for Tweet of the Week.
And we will, enjoy your week, and we will see you then.